Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, March 17th, 2017. Happy Paddy's Day. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. It is a sort of balmy 30 degrees, partly sunny, and not snowing yet here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show H+, Evolution, Singularity, Cures versus Eugenics, Milgram, and Augmentation. Well, apparently only 24 smarty pants out there really had any concern over any of these technologies, which really kind of disturbs me because this is, I mean, do people understand what the word eugenics means? Maybe that was a little bit too hard of a word, but we outlined some pretty disturbing things that are coming down the pike yesterday. Not that we don't every day, but we were reading about augmentation and whether or not we should be moving forward with human enhancements. H+ is what they are calling this new improved human that is before the cyborgs, but after 1.0, and there's a big push right now in science. Remember, the 21st Century Cures Act was passed with flying colors at the end of 2016, and as a part of that 21st Century Cures Act, and moving that pesky FDA out of the way and not requiring hundreds of thousands of dollars of research that shows efficacy and safety before being approved for the American people. No, now they can just kind of peddle it out. They can show, you know, minimal safety. I don't really know what the new rules are now, but absolutely any of the stories that you read about the new regulations, they got that FDA out of the way so it could just be a blessing and a rubber stamp, just like the way they approve GMOs now. So then they can get it into the market, they can do a clinical trial, and if you are desperate enough and you step right up and you're one of the first people to get that trial and things all go well, they're going to write a case study about you. And after they get a couple case studies of success stories, then this is going to be all balls out, commercialized, and everybody's going to get rich. And they're going to perfect their technologies. So when it comes time for, you know, I don't know, the Queen's grandson. I don't know what those little kids' names are. The royal family. Tech billionaires' children. When one of those individuals gets ill, well, it'll be all perfected. So you don't have to worry about off targets like we talked about, or slipping into a coma, or having body parts fall off after the treatments. So they will have gotten all the kinks out utilizing our children. It's almost the same way when they send us to war. It typically isn't the rich kids going to war. No, it's the middle class, lower class children going to war and becoming cannon fodder. So where are we going to continue today? I want to wrap up at least this string of stories I have up. My machine and my network have been giving me large problems since last night. Mysteriously out of the blue, everything was fine. And now lots of stuff is broken. I want to give everyone a heads up. It seems yesterday, RSS stopped feeding off of YouTube. That is not something to do with my back end or my network or my feeds or my anything. It is the feed that comes direct from your YouTube channel. I don't know, Pigminds works just fine. UCY stopped working yesterday before I published my show. So my show, Lonnie's show published fine, but my show did not. My show, Ron's show, Hal's show, and Antimedia from last night never went out into the feed. So I'm assuming It didn't post to Facebook, and I got that set up auto, so it didn't post to Twitter, and that set up auto too. I'm assuming that it's also not on my website because that's where it comes from. That is part of the feed. Though at one point I did see my show on the feed, so I'm not sure why it's not there, but I am guessing that it also means that it doesn't show up in the feed of anyone who's subscribed to my channel on YouTube. Wow, what a great way to shut people down. Just turn off their RSS feed. You see, I see them up here, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Well, it looks like they are on my homepage, but they're not feeding out anywhere. So if you thought that we just stopped doing shows yesterday, surprise, we didn't. If you didn't see them in your feed and you really want to hear them, go over either to ucy.tv, scroll down, and you'll see the last 20 shows or whatever that uploaded. Or go to youtube.com/UCYTV with no dot, and you will see them there. So anyway, yes, they will not keep me down. So where we left off yesterday, we were looking at human enhancement and people that supported human enhancement. H plus being a part of it, transhumanist being the next phase. And that is where they get these little robots, not only inside of you, but they could CRISPR you. They can give you superpowers. They can make you live forever. That is the end game, reaching for godhood. They are also reaching for omniscience and omnipotence. With all their surveillance technology, and soon it's going to be implants. And once we end up with implants, there is nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Kurzweil's been talking about the neocortex and being able to connect to the cloud 24/7 and to do this hive mind between all of us so we can share information, just what we want to be like as the Borg. Well, interestingly enough, I did a search the other day when we first started talking about this H plus. So I wanted to find, I've seen a few t-shirts before. I refused to get one. Usually it's little H and a plus. And that is the transhumanist call. But I did a search the other day for H plus. And I came up with a show, and it doesn't actually say what network it's on, but that's fine. I don't want to encourage you to watch it, though I might if I can find it. But I found IMDb has a show listed called H Plus, and it is a show that is currently, right now, since 2011, been airing. Oh, Sci-Fi Channel, maybe it says it's Sci-Fi. It is a future set story in which a virus has wiped out most of the human race, and those still alive have their minds linked to the internet 24 hours a day. Here, a viral incident leads to a new world order. Ding, ding, ding. There's a show. That's a little synopsis. On air right now on TV with that plot line. How interesting is that? That is in our not too distant future. It's pretty horrifying. I'm not sure if it's actually a viral virus that would maybe get them to roll out the shape-shifting immune system, or if it was a computer virus. After people had already stepped right up and gotten their nanobots in the neocortex augmentation. But regardless, millions of people died, and the NWO rolled in, and they got to link their minds after a calamity via some sort of 24-hour-a-day internet connectivity, pre-programming, if I ever saw one. So we might have to look that show up. It's called H Plus. We discovered H Plus is that new transhumanist human plus. I still want to be 1.0. I don't know about you, but it isn't going to be a happy future. All right, so let's hit this first story that we started with yesterday that we only made it through the first couple paragraphs. We're going to get through a little bit more of the definitions of human enhancement and what the current philosophical beliefs are. To those who support human enhancement, I say phooey. Stop it. Many of whom call themselves transhumanists. Technological breakthroughs like these are springboards not only to healing people, but to changing and improving humanity. And that was in reference to things such as CRISPR or insertable, implantable, such as artificial retinas, brain computer chips, or synthetic blood substitutes. Up until this point, they say, I say, the transhumanists have always been considered little weirdos in the corner with Uncle Kurzweil. And now somehow these crazies seem to be steering the ship. And that's what is so frightening here, guys. Just a few short years ago, we're all still pointing and laughing at transhumanists because it was just so out there. And now all of a sudden, they got everybody like praying to these gods. And this is so dangerous because with that dangling dopamine carrot, they've managed to entrap a good part of humanity. Almost like one of those sticky traps. You know, it's got the happy smelling pheromones. Ooh. Come in the secret door because I have a surprise for you. And once you get in the door, you can't get out. And now that most of humanity's trapped, they just keep feeding you video games. They keep feeding you new little trinkets online. New little things to draw you in to keep you from getting bored, even though you're stuck on the machine 24/7. You don't even know after all these years of being stuck in the machine and having to be on the machine for my living, having to sit in front of the machine, how amazingly wonderful it is in the summertime. Once it gets sunny and all the snow melts, I can have my doors open. I can get out into the country. I don't even think about my computer. Not when we're out on the water, or we're out in the trees, or we're out of the ATVs, we're doing something. I never even think twice about a computer. Half the time, my cell phone doesn't work down there anyway. And see, that's the problem. They've gotten people away from enjoying nature, and children are stuck inside playing their damn video games or sitting in front of the television. And it allows us to forget about our connection that we once had to each other, to the planet, to the sun, how much we enjoyed it. Now we are slaves to the machine. And they are going to pull us in. You know, I was talking with a chatter last night, and Tron came up. I'll tell you, Tron is one of those movies that never left me, just like To Serve Man from Twilight Zone. And the reason why Tron never left me, that movie was from, I don't even know, that might have even been like the late 70s, maybe 78, maybe early 80s. Not the new version of Tron, a Daft Punk soundtrack, no, the original version of Tron, which could have also had Daft Punk soundtrack, but I doubt it. I think that might have been a Disney movie. Daft Punk might have been a little risque at that time. They were doing too many boogies on TV. But Tron in the 70s or the 80s was very different for its time. It was exciting because they showed these newfangled video games that just came out. And these were the arcade versions. But the guy who had developed it got sucked in. Interestingly enough, he fell into the game. He just kind of got whoop, and he was in there. And when he went inside, I don't think he was intentionally doing that. I think he got sucked in. It's been a lot of years since I've seen the movie, but I'm pretty sure it was a big surprise to him. And he found out that it wasn't all fun and games inside of the Matrix. Oh, no. It was the utmost dystopia. And it was like a game of Running Man. And every other scary post-apocalyptic grid of control movie that you've ever seen. If you've never seen the original Tron, you should really watch it. It was definitely one of those movies that you will never forget. But yeah, it was interesting that that just came up yesterday, and I was like, hey, he got sucked into the video game. And that was a very, very impressionable time for those of us from Gen X who literally lived this transition from the analog world to the digital world. We are but the only things now standing in the way of this plan from rolling out globally to consume humanity. And it's even more than humanity, because they have genome sequenced as many of the living creatures on this planet as they can and keep continuing with more. So like the DARPA lady said, push a button, create life. Splice and dice it. They're now even looking at terraforming Mars. So transhumanists predicted that the convergence of new technologies will soon allow people to control and fundamentally change their bodies and minds. And we are now getting beyond these biohackers that we've talked about. These people who are cutting little holes into themselves and inserting electrodes and things of that nature to see what would happen. We saw, I think it was in Sweden, Norway, they had put a little sensor in so they could just wave their hand and unlock doors. We heard Regina Duncan even talking about you don't even need implantables. They had smart tattoos that could be used for some of the same things. They were even talking about using some of those smart tattoos in hospitals to keep track of patients and things of that nature, because they could be used with RFID. It's coming. And this isn't just some of this non-invasive stuff. Eventually, it's going to be permanently integrated as an upgrade. And we are going to be upgraded, like I've said before, whether we want it or not. Instead of leaving a person's physical well-being to the vagaries of nature, supporters of these technologies contend that science will allow us to take control of our species' development, making ourselves and future generations stronger, smarter, healthier, and happier. The science that underpins transhumanist hopes is impressive, but there is no guarantee the researchers will create the means to make super smart or super strong people. The questions remain about the feasibility of radically changing human physiology, in part because scientists do not yet understand our bodies and our minds. For instance, researchers do not still fully comprehend how people age or how humans gain consciousness. And of course, there are significant philosophical, ethical, and religious opposition to transhumanism. Many thinkers from different disciplines and faith traditions worry that radical changes will lead to people who are no longer physically, ding, or psychologically, ding, and I think that's already happened, human. We are no longer living in a time when we can say we either want to enhance or we don't, because we are already living in an age of enhancement. And you know, that's the one scary thing about this, and that's kind of where we ended reading this treatise on human enhancement, is that there is going to be a peer pressure coming And we are going to be pushed first, maybe nudged. Johnny won't be able to compete with kids from China. Or maybe it'll be an emergency. Oh my goodness, there's a pandemic that's taking out 90% of all humans that come in contact with the virus. But here, we have this new shape-shifting immune system that should be able to fight against all pathogens, known or unknown. All you gotta do, Johnny, is eat this banana. I don't know. Whatever their delivery method is gonna be. Huff this hanky. Breathe deep as we spray these from the sky. Put on this little patch, and we'll transdermal it to you. Here, suck on this little pharmacological candy. It tastes good. And it'll get in sublingually, however they're gonna do it. There's a couple different projects right now, the TIPS, PIPS from DARPA, and there's another one from IBM. To be able to upgrade our physical bodies, our immune systems, to be able to react to any known or unknown pathogen in our environment and modify our. I'm not exactly sure, depending on the technology, it's something different for each one. But modifying us in some way, shape, or form on the fly. We don't quite know what it's going to do, but don't worry, Johnny, because at least you won't die from the newest pathogen that was released. Given that science is still at a somewhat early stage, there has been little public discussion about how the possible impacts of human enhancement will affect things on a practical level. But a new survey suggests wariness in the US public about these emerging technologies. Well, ding-a-ling. And we found that out yesterday when we looked at that Pew Research study on brain enhancement utilizing brain implants. They also looked at whether Americans would be apt to step up for a brain implant, even if it was just for medical purposes. Cure you of your Alzheimer's or your dementia. And they discovered that a large majority of the public says, hell no, we are not down with brain implants. Which makes me very proud. I really hope I had a little tiny bit something to do with that. I hope so. Oh, I hope so. The butterfly effect. It'd be a big middle finger to the establishment. No brain implants for you. And it's not that I don't want to be better or smarter, but hey, there is no easy way to get better or smarter short of exercise. Just like when you want to get back into shape, there is no shortcut, Johnny. You got to just do some hard work, and that's something that our society seems to have forgotten. And now we have this transhumanist group and others, these futurists who seem to think that our future is going to be even less work because the robots are going to do it all and they're going to feed us grapes and we're just going to sit back and relax. Put these little nanobots in us to keep us healthy because we don't even have to move around now to keep our biological systems functioning. Oh, what? Your biological systems are starting to fall apart, but what? You don't exercise anymore and you eat like shit? Oh, well, here's a nanobot that'll fix you, Johnny. Problem, reaction, solution. We have created our own demise. If you don't use your brain is going to get flabby. That is exactly what's happened. And you want your brain to get smarter? Start doing huge amounts of research. Make your brain get big and pulsate. I like when my brain does that. And the more dots I connect, the bigger it gets. So keep reading, keep reading. Because information is the key, not brain implants. And yet, perhaps ironically, even though most US adults say they would definitely or probably not want to get a brain implant, to improve their ability to process information. Enhancement continues to captivate the popular imagination. Yeah, because it's the kids that they've groomed. You know, the people that you surveyed were probably the older individuals who say, hell no. Are you crazy? We're not getting an implant. Yet the kids that are watching pop culture movies are the ones that are into the superheroes. Many of the top grossing films in recent years in the United States and around the world have centered on superheroes with extraordinary abilities, such as X-Men, Captain America, Spider-Man, The Incredible Hulk, though these were all things that we liked as kids too, and Iron Man. And such films explore the promise, as well as the pitfalls, of exceeding human natural limits. But not only is enhancement unquestionably part of today's cultural zeitgeist, but it also questions about our humanity's quest to move beyond the natural limits. Go back to our earliest myths and stories. We look at Prometheus from the Greeks, who stole fire from the gods, and Daedalus, the skilled craftsman who made wings for himself and his son Icarus. And we know how that all turned out. In the opening chapters of Genesis, Adam and Eve ate the fruit, ding ding, from the tree of knowledge and the poison apple. And I've mentioned that before. Guys, it's a sign. Like I said, I am no religious crazy, but I've read enough of those creation and destruction myths to know that, yes, man and our hubris and our quest to become gods, which has been going on eternally, never turns out well for us. We get too full of ourselves. Our egos get too huge. And we end up with self-destruction. And that is how it happens. It repeats itself every time. And for some reason, these power-hungry lunatics now who are holding all the keys to biology seem to think it's going to turn out differently. The sad fact of the matter is, you, me, Nana, and Jenny are going to be the 1.0s that get this technology tried on us. And they've convinced us that it's all good and that it's going to cure us and that it's going to make us all better. And that if we don't do it, we're going to be left behind. So step right up. And eventually it's all going to be in the name of safety. Because just like vaccines, like I was mentioning the other day, hey, if you're not vaccinated, you must be the danger. All these other people who apparently have the protection are still scared of you. Because their new technologies must work so well that they'd have to be scared of you. Go figure. But it's going to be like this. In the future, if you do not get augmented to be able to control your thoughts or whatever they are going to sell it as, you're going to be a danger to others. You're going to think too much there. You're going to be coming up with these ideas that are not allowed anymore in this society. And of course, when Adam and Eve ate that apple because they were told it would make them like God with the knowledge, they did gain a new awareness and self-understanding, but their actions led them to the expulsion from paradise. See, we don't even realize what a paradise this planet is or was before they started destroying it, or how most of our cures are still living in nature. Plants everywhere. Plants everywhere have things to offer us that help keep our bodily functions in check. But no, let's feed them synthetic. Let's feed them drugs that we've mixed up in the lab with all these poison things that'll make them slowly sicker. Like that titanium dioxide that's in everything that, what? Oh, it completely damages your ability to absorb nutrients. Look that one up. That was just recently. They came out with that, like, oh no. But titanium dioxide isn't so many things. Anything with white, a lot of your vitamins. I mean, seriously. But let's give them synthetic stuff because they'll never know. And we'll make bazillions doing it. And we can even put substandard shit in there. And if they get sick, Hey, it's 20 years down the line. How are they ever going to prove it was us? I mean, this has just come down to this world now, where it's anything goes. Screw everybody. Make as much money as you can. Greed, greed, greed. And reach for the stars to try and be as powerful as possible. And now they are trying to grab the last ring. And that is to be God. That is to take control of everything, of all of biology, of all of life, and to have knowledge about everything at every minute in a dashboard, and to be able to push a button and control it, turn it on, turn it off. That is what they're striving for. That is what this technology is going to give them the keys to. And people who haven't been following this technology will be like, oh, it's going to be 100 years from now before we're ever there. Oh, no. It is not. It is coming faster than anyone ever imagined, including Kurzweil himself. We read yesterday, Kurzweil's even jacked up the coming prediction of the singularity. Originally, it was 2045. Then it was 2030. We found out the guy, the founder of, we'll hit that SoftBank CEO, was calling now for 2040, and he's like, oh, faster than I ever thought. Well, oh no, Kurzweil now moved it to 2029, and we pointed out yesterday that's just 12 short years from now. And if we know anything about the law of exponential returns, it's that it's 12 years today, tomorrow might be six, because technology has begot more technology. Put on a seatbelt, people. It is coming. Be prepared mentally, because there is a war coming for your biology. And whether or not you are going to remain augmented, unaugmented, or get augmented. It's kind of like, I don't know, something I think about tattoos, maybe. I know a lot of people got tattoos. I was going to get a tattoo quite a number of times, and then I never did for one reason or another. But now everybody's got tattoos. It's kind of like the trendy thing to do. And so I hold up my non-tattooed self like a trophy. I did not fall for peer pressure. I did not do it. And I mean, I don't know, my dad always had lots of tattoos because he was in the Navy in the 60s. So I didn't ever have anything wrong with tattoos in my mind. It was something that I grew up with. But on the other hand, falling for peer pressure and following the lemons off the cliff is something I do have a problem with. And in the few moments that I did consider it, they usually can included being with groups of friends and large amounts of alcohol. So I'm glad I never did it. I know the one I'd been planning on getting was a very large bat, so I'm glad I didn't get it. Anyway, okay. So of course, while Adam and Eve gained a new awareness and self-understanding after reaching for that apple of knowledge, their actions also led to their expulsion from paradise and an entry into a much harder world full of pain, shame, and toil. And you know, the theme of that H plus, like millions of people die in a pandemic or whatever, be from a virus. Things are scarce, but hey, we're all connected now via the internet through our neocortex. I would say that is going to be a much harder world full of pain, shame, and toil. Guys, they're going to try and pull something big. You know, they're finding now that this isn't going to be as easy as they thought. They've done Pew Research studies, paid or unpaid. But they found out that the majority of Americans are not falling for this transhumanist agenda and brain implants, which now part of the 21st Century Cures Act. They have neurological surveillance. We read stories just not even a year ago of psychiatrists talking about how we should have a nationwide neurological surveillance center. And I was like, what? And just a year ago, it sounded like that was something 20 years into the future. Well, guess what? It's not. This is now reality. This is now a law. It's in a bill that got passed. 21st Century Cures Act, neurological surveillance is the section. They're talking about non-invasively being able to surveil Nana to make sure that she is not a danger to herself or others with her Alzheimer's. Or maybe little Johnny with his bipolar. It's frightening. It's very frightening. This theme that hidden dangers may lurk in something ostensibly good, which people like Jewel keep spinning the yarn. Fake news, fake news. Yeah, it's not fake news, people. I wish it was fake news, but it's not. Runs through many literary accounts of enhancement. And hey, being an English major, I read many of those literary accounts, such as Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. A scientist creates a new man, only to eventually die while trying to destroy his creation. And yeah, that was an ongoing theme. You know, don't get too much hubris. Because once you get too proud, pride is one of the seven deadly sins that takes you out. Pride and greed. And while these fears surrounding human enhancement are real or unfounded is a question already being debated by ethicists, scientists, theologians, and others. Yeah, I must be in the other category. How about technologists, futurists? This report looks at that debate, particularly in light of the diverse religious traditions in the United States. And first, though, this report explains some of the scientific developments that might form a basis of an enhancement revolution. And, you know, that's the one thing that they kept showing over and over again in that Pew Research study about whether or not people want brain implants. And over again, as you go down through the study, and it just keeps saying, no, we don't want them. No, we don't want them. Nope, 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 nope. But they kept turning this narrative more and more toward it's the religious crazies. Yep, it's the religious crazies. Those people who don't believe in science, they believe dinosaurs and Jesus lived together. Those religious people. No, it is not. They blame it on religion because they're saying that people find it unnatural. Well, you don't have to be a Bible thumper to find augmentation wrong, especially when we are talking about eventually for pay, being able to decide if Johnny's going to have blue eyes or green eyes and blonde hair or red hair before birth. There is nothing religious about that and about deciding that that is wrong. Why would we turn life into a commodity? Because that's what we're doing. We've cheapened it. There will be no more traditional reproduction in the future. They will deem certain individuals defective genes. You cost too much for us to support in the healthcare system there, Johnny. So any babies that have some sort of minor defect, and they'll have all those in the database recognized to be able to scan you pre-birth within the first 2 to 4 weeks of conception and determine whether or not you will be allowed to come to term. Eventually, it'll just be done in a petri dish, but that'll be the interim. This is going to be a brave new world. That's exactly what it's going to become. They are going to control life and death with the push of a button. On February 25th, 2014, good old Barack Obama met with Army officials and engineers at the Pentagon to discuss plans to create a new super armor that would make soldiers much more dangerous and harder to kill. And I wish Skype worked anymore, but it doesn't. To be able to play clips, just stopped working after this newest upgrade on any machine. And, but we had this clip and we've heard it before. It was Obama saying, we're building Iron Man. And he laughs. He's like, I'm kidding. He's like, no, I'm not. I've played that quite a few times. And no, he was not kidding. This is the next step to the super soldier that DARPA has been working on. The president joked that, yes, we are building Iron Man, but Obama's jest contained more than a kernel of truth. the exoskeleton called the Tactical Assault Light Operator Suit, or Talos for short, does look vaguely like the fictional Tony Stark's famous Iron Man suit. And the first prototypes are already being built, and if all goes as planned, American soldiers may soon be much stronger and largely impervious to bullets. And I think it's going to go beyond soldiers. This is going to be like Judge Dredd in his suit. They will be almost like automatons. And you wait, they'll start feeding in. Remember, don't get things near your eye. All they need are little bzz, 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 little vagus nerve stimulation as well, right next to the ear. Bzz, bzz, bzz. And they'll be able to manipulate and control things, including your brain chemicals. And again, I know it sounds like science fiction, but it's not. A little more than a year later, so this must have been like mid-2015, in an ocean away, scientists at the UK's National Health Service announced that by 2017, they planned on being able to give human subjects synthetic or artificial blood. And if the NHS moves ahead with its plans, it would be the very first time people received blood created in the lab. Again, run away, Johnny. I don't know if I'd be wanting synthetic blood in my veins, but again, I've heard some really scary things now about new discoveries about human blood. Now that we have all this newfangled technology and we can look at things at such a minuscule level that we've never been able to before, and they're finding that there are proteins in there that they never even knew about. And now they're questioning, even if blood typing is an accurate way to blood match, because there are other things that affect other proteins that can actually cause major issues, and we've never even been looking at any of that stuff. But hey, no worries. While the ultimate aim of the effort is to stem blood shortages, especially for those rare blood types, the success of synthetic blood could lay the foundation for a blood substitute that could be engineered to carry more oxygen or, ha ha ha, better fight infections. So let's get some sort of synthetic white blood cell in there. And don't worry, because, hey, we want to make sure we save all the real young blood to be able to sell at clinics like this new startup company called Ambrosia that tech billionaire Peter Thiel is so interested in, that is using young blood to make old people young again. In April 2016... scientists from the Battelle Memorial Institute in Columbus, Ohio, revealed that they had implanted a chip in the brain of a quadriplegic man, and this chip can send signals to a sleeve around the man's arm, allowing him to pick up a glass of water, swipe a credit card, or even play the video game Guitar Hero. Roughly around the same time, Chinese researchers had announced that they had attempted to genetically alter 213 embryos. 213! I knew they tinkered with embryos, but I didn't realize there were so many. In order to make them HIV resistant. Only four of the embryos were successfully changed, and all of them, they say, were ultimately destroyed. Moreover, the scientists from Guangzhou Medical University who did the work said that its purpose was solely to test the feasibility of embryo gene editing, right? They CRISPRed them, rather than regularly beginning altering embryos. As these examples, though, show, many of these fantastic technologies that until recently were confined to science fiction have already arrived. So, like I said, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And at least in their early forms, we are no longer living in a time when we can say that we either want to enhance or we don't, says Nick Agar, a professor of ethics at Victoria University in Wellington, New Zealand, and an author of the new book, Humanity's End, Why We Should Reject Radical Enhancement. Oh, I better get that one. That'll be a good one for my mom. Somebody from New Zealand talking about the end of humanity because we transhumanized. Right on them there, Nicholas Agar. You are on my team. We are already living in an age of enhancements. All right, well, this goes on and on. It looks at CRISPR, it looks at all this other stuff. That's old school to us, and I am not going to spend the rest of our Friday looking at stuff that we have already done. Let's go on to some of these more disturbing stories that I put together. So we looked at the Milgram experiment. There was a story that came out just the other day. They have repeated the Milgram experiment in Poland, and they found out that even 50 years later, even with all the knowledge that we have gained and our ability to communicate internationally with the push of a button, the blink of an eye, being able to understand a lot more than we did back in the 60s about psychology and some of the tragedies that have happened and why throughout history, it seems that humans and their willingness to unquestionably follow authority without question hasn't changed. And the one thing they point out in this experiment is that sometimes some of these people actually do question whether or not they should be injuring others at the behest of some sort of command. And they start to feel guilty about it, and they start to go, but he's not talking anymore. You really want me to increase the shock? And they say, but you must, otherwise the experiment won't be complete. Keep shocking him, Johnny. And he says, well, I watched some of it again last night. It's so disturbing. And the guy says, well, as long as, I can't be blamed for it. And they discovered psychologically that as long as you can offset that blame it on somebody else, say that it was somebody else's fault, that they made you do it, your psyche will allow you to carry out some things that you wouldn't normally have done. And the reason why this experiment is so important is because that's exactly what is happening right now. They are drunk in this orgy of flowing money to create the most insane sci-fi technology that they can. Keeping up with the Joneses, with the Chinese, with the Indians and the South Koreans and the Australians, all these little mad science labs, and all these scientists want to get themselves published, want to become famous, want to get the next patent, want to create the next 21st century cure. And they are forgetting about the ethics. They are forgetting that a lot of this funding is coming from the war machine, i.e., DARPA, which all they want to do is kill things. They are not about protecting a life and limb or making our world a better place. They want to kill things. It is the war machine. Well, so we have this brain initiative that is free flowing, and there is so much money right now going into this because, of course, we have all this deep learning, all these new AI systems that they are teaching to think for themselves, and they are trying to model it on the human brain. So the more brain research they do, the more code they crack, the more things they could try to integrate into making computers more human-like. From the other end of the spectrum, we have researchers trying to decode how all the neurons work together, and if they can create neurons in a lab, they can create little neuronal networks that then they can make think. And how to enhance the human brain, how to connect it to that very same machine. We have DARPA working on brain implants, and we found out yesterday that they have some new brain implant that they are hoping is going to be used to help cure your mental health. Now, good old Tommy Insel, going from the director of mental health for the National Institute of Mental Health over to Google, it's got to be worrisome. Because he was talking about diagnosing mental illness on a spectrum. And now we have this 21st Century Cures Act that gives them neurological surveillance as a tool for the quote-unquote mentally ill. And now we have DARPA talking about brain implants to help cure us. Doing some sort of deep brain stimulation or zippity-zapping Lectar X of that vagus nerve. Deep brain stimulation is the bleeding edge of mental health treatment and originally developed to treat the terrible tremors that patients with Parkinson's disease suffer from. Many researchers now view it as a potentially revolutionary method for treating mental illness. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be zippity-zapped. For many patients with mental health disorders, like, oh, I don't know, depression, therapies like drugs are often insufficient or come with terrible side effects, and the numbers are all over the place. But doctors and researchers generally agree that significant numbers of people do not respond adequately to the current treatment methods. Now, the same team that implanted electrodes into a patient's brain is also now halfway through a five-year, $65 million research effort funded by who? Oh, DARPA. Should have guessed it. To use that very same technology to tackle some of the trickiest psychiatric disorders on the book. Ding-a-ling. I mean, how horrifying can this get, guys? We have DARPA, who's now got $65 million to figure out how to fix your psychiatric illness that will soon be diagnosed by your voice on your smartphone by Tommy Insel and Google. The goal is ambitious, and DARPA is betting that the research teams it is funding at Mass General and UCSF, University of California, San Francisco, will uncover working therapies for not just one disorder, but many, many at once. All the ones we talked about. And in developing treatments for schizophrenia, PTSD, traumatic brain injury, borderline personality disorder, anxiety, addiction, and depression, among others. Along the way, their work also aims to completely reframe how we approach mental illness, and to shed new lights on how it flows through the brain. This is a radical departure from traditional neuropsychiatric illness treatment, says Justin Sanchez, the director at DARPA's, where, oh, Mad Science Division, their Biological Technologies Office, more affectionately known as the BTO. We are talking about being able to go directly to the brain, he says, to treat people. That is transformative. Oh, yes. Let's step right up. It says, then there is an array of ethical questions that brain technologies tend to inspire. Does inserting a chip into someone's brain to mediate their brain circuitry change their identity? Well, it could. And might it eventually lead to the ability to treat ourselves when feeling blue? A sort of tech high take on Aldous Huxley's Soma. Remember, too, we read about those dopamine headphones, and they do exactly that. They give you a little zippity-zap next to the ear. Bzz, bzz, bzz. And it makes you high as a kite on dopamine. Could you use one of these devices to hack into someone else's brain, or to control them, or to enhance them? And is this potentially dangerous in the wrong hands? Well, abso-freaking-lutely, duh. I mean, that's the point. Do not let them into your brain Do not let these mini robots or these implants into your body. I'm warning you. This is probably one of the last times that we're going to have this chance to stop this train, you guys. And honestly, I don't know how to stop it. Dig your feet into the ground and say no. I was thinking about this last night. I think we need to get some sort of Gen X global group together. The Gen Xers, Generation Xers, those born between, I don't know, mid-60s and probably late 70s, we are the ones who lived on that cusp between the analog world before we saw the beginnings and the digital world today. And we are the group that are looking at this stuff going, but I don't think it's such a good idea. Now we have these kids, any of these newer kids, these younger kids, last few generations of kids that have come along with technology from the day they were born, so they don't see anything wrong with it, and they've become addicted very easily. And they are all for opening their arms to accept this. Well, good old Ray Kurzweil. I guess we're almost out of time here. We're gonna roll this up with a Google exec. Good old Kurzweil. Just claim that the singularity will happen by 2029. Robots with human intelligence was now at the SXSW, I always call it the SWSX, conference in Austin this week. Ray Kurzweil, Google's Director of Engineering, is a well-known futurist with a high-hitting track record for accurate predictions, and 147 of them since 1987. He claims an accuracy of 86%. He now says that the singularity will happen within the next 12 years, count 'em, 12, by 2029, and it will lead to the merging of man and machine. All right, guys, have an awesome weekend. Stick around for tons.